Would you pray with me? Holy God, may the words of my mouth and meditations of all of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and the one who redeems us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In 1996, Linda Ellis, a creative writer who lives in the South, I believe it's Georgia, wrote a poem entitled The Dash. Now, some of you have heard this poem. I would like to share with you the first few stanzas from it. I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on her tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that that first came the date of her birth and spoke of the following date with tears. But he said what mattered most of all was the dash between the years. For that dash represents all the time that she spent alive on earth, and now only those who love her know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love, and how we spend our dash. As we finish our liturgical year in the next 2 weeks, the scripture readings begin to take on the tone of the end times and a what do you think mentality. We've listened to a whole year's worth of scripture readings and sermons. At least I hope you have. And as we make our way to Reign of Christ Sunday, which is November 24th and the last Sunday of a liturgical year, the implied message is, okay, after hearing all of this, what do you believe about it? What do you believe about what you've heard all year? Now, Jesus makes clear in our gospel passage that the age to come is very different. Very different than what we can imagine. And yet, we get caught up, perhaps not you personally, but many people get caught up in exactly what is coming and when is it coming. It's interesting to note that there are some, and I would venture to say maybe a fair number of people, who think that the second coming is near. They look to passages like Isaiah 17:1, where we read an oracle concerning Damascus. See, Damascus will cease to be a city and will become a heap of ruins. Her towns will be deserted forever. They will be places for flocks which will lie down and no one will make them afraid. Well, because of the civil war in Syria, people believe that that portends the coming of the great day of the Lord. This is the kind of stuff that you read about in the Left Behind books and movies. There's been a lot of time and effort put forth to trying to understand what is the apocalypse or the end times and when is it coming. Now, it would be easy to think that this is just happening in modern times. But you know, it goes all the way back into the Old Testament, into the early church. Our Thessalonians passage talks about false prophets who are saying that the second coming has already happened. But, as the author says, things haven't gotten bad enough yet. The rebellion has not started. You see, the apocalypse, the end times, in the Bible are always preceded by great violence and destruction. I should say, prophecies regarding that are in the Bible. And the writer of 2 Thessalonians believes that the second coming is still yet to come because that stuff hasn't happened. So this is not just a modern phenomenon. It has existed for a very long time. But today I would like to suggest to you that what is important is not about what's to come, but to use Ellis's symbol, it's about the dash. What do we do with the time we are given? I've had several people over the past year ask me what I thought about the next life. And I've honestly shared with them that I don't know what to think. I've even had people, wonderful Christians, telling me they cannot believe in that there is anything after death. But you know, I don't think that's important. What's important is what we do with the time that we are given. I honestly don't believe that Jesus' life and work was about what comes after this life, getting us ready to get it to someplace. Jesus was not trying so much to get people into heaven as to getting them to live and behave decently and humanely in this life. Jesus was about the dash. It's interesting. It's comical with the things that go on, and I hope you kind of caught it as I was reading the passage from Luke. The Sadducees, they're the ones that pose Jesus this question. Did you hear that first sentence? They don't believe in a resurrection. And so they ask Jesus this question about levirate marriage as if there is a resurrection. They're the ultra-religious conservatives of their day. And levirate marriage, just so you understand, is that if a man dies after having been married that has no children, then his brothers have to have the be with the woman and so that she can conceive a son to carry on the line of their brother. That's basically levirate marriage in simple form. And it's in the Torah. The question was asked to make Jesus look like a fool. And of course, he ended up making them look like fools. But I think maybe the best way to think about this passage and the Thessalonians passage and everything is, has the best in life already happened? Or is it someplace ahead of us? Or is it now? We are living in a time of great anger and violence. Old prejudices seem to be rearing their ugly heads again. But more and more there are accounts of anti-Semitism, racial prejudice. And we're still at war after 10 years. Children and adults are being killed by random violence to a greater degree. And it would be easy to think, our best days are behind us. As individuals, as a people, as a nation, as a church. People remember, those who have been around long enough, remember that there was a time when people were just flocking to church. Oh, why can't we go back to those days? We live in the past, hoping the past to be recreated in the future or in the present. But it doesn't work that way. I feel, and others with me, as far as the church is concerned, that this is an incredible time for the church. A time when we can redefine what it means to be the church. To climb out from under old ways of doing things and to find ways to help others and ourselves know that God is still relevant in their lives. The church is in a great period of flux right now. We're struggling to redefine what it means to be a faithful Christian today. We've not gone through this kind of time, I don't think, since the resurrection. Since the Reformation. Maybe since the resurrection too, I don't know. But if you are interested in this idea, come to our book study starting December 5th, and I still have several books that are still available. We live as people of hope, believing that the best is ahead of us and right now in our present. And because of that, we live our present day lives in hope of God's blessings in whatever is to come. Our job today, as I see it, is to plant seeds. Plant seeds in our present lives that we may never see come to fruition. Perhaps you've heard me say before, the greatest act of love that you can do is plant a tree under whose shade you will never sit. The dash is about planting seeds of hope and joy. I want to end with a piece by the slain El Salvadoran Archbishop Oscar Romero, because he speaks about this planting of seeds. It helps now and then to step back and take the long view. The kingdom is not only beyond our efforts, it is even beyond our vision. We accomplish in our lifetime only a tiny fraction of the magnificent enterprise that is God's work. Nothing we do is complete, which is another way of saying that the kingdom always lies beyond us. No statement says all that should be said. No prayer fully expresses our faith. No confession brings perfection. No pastoral visit brings wholeness. No program accomplishes the church's mission. No set of goals and objectives includes everything. This is what we are about. We plant the seeds that will one day grow. We water the seeds already planted, knowing that they hold future promise. We lay foundations that will need further development. We provide yeast that produces effects beyond our capabilities. We cannot do everything. And there is a sense of liberation in realizing that. This enables us to do something, and to do it very well. It may be incomplete, but it is a beginning, a step along the way, an opportunity for the Lord's grace to enter and do the rest. We may never see the end results, but that is the difference between the master builder and the worker. My brothers and sisters in Christ, may our dash time be filled with the work of seed planting. And if we can do just that, if we can plant seeds, then I believe we will hear the words in some way, shape, or form, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And in the end, what more could we ask for than that? Amen.